Looking at some of the latest job numbers that are around today, we'll look at that with the CEO of Business Hunter, Bob Hawes. And Bob, as always, a pleasure to catch up with you. Of course, the other big news around today, which we'll jump straight to immediately, is the potential talks of Tomago Aluminium, one of the biggest employers in the Hunter, potentially no longer here after 2028. Good morning.
Good morning, Mark. Yes, that's very concerning and would be very distressing if that came to pass. I'm pleased that Tomago, for their sake and for their workforce's sake, have started these discussions early. Given the dark clouds that are on the horizon, and you and I have spoken before about the conundrum we're in relation to green energy and pricing of energy, and what we're seeing today is perhaps some of the circumstances of that.
Yeah, and energy policy, I mean, there's always a million thoughts on all of that, but at the end of the day, that's the soup that that Tomago does find itself in. And they've been commenting on that for a few years now as well. The one good point is, if they are saying that we will raise the white flag in 2028, that gives all of those, and what we're looking at, about 1,500 folks that work there.
There's about 1,000. There are about 1,000 on site, but there's 4,000 to 5,000 that are indirect. Some of those would be 100% dependent on operations at Tomago, and some of those folk would be 10% or 5% or 10% dependent on operations at Tomago. But notwithstanding, I think we've made the comment before. For us, them closing would have bigger impacts than any power station or any mine closing that's on the horizon we're looking at the moment.
And that's the thing. I mean, you can always look at direct numbers, and every person's job and lifestyle and income and pay packet is important, everyone's. But again, it always reverberates beyond the gates of a particular business. And again, all that flow on stuff. And if you talk about aluminium as a base product as well, it's just kind of used for everything from infrastructure, transport. It's a defence material as well. And where that sort of like leaves us with another, potentially, with another industry gone from Australia, essentially?
Yes, it's, we've seen things happen around Australia at the moment in other states, South Australia Steelworks and Queensland and another aluminium smelter, or another smelter, I should say, at Mount Isa. But the difficulty that this is a lot of this, you see businesses come and go, and often it's a consequence of decisions they've made over the things which they have control. The problem we've got at the moment with energy pricing is it's not an issue that businesses have in their control. We know businesses are experiencing 200 to 300% increases in the big users in their cost of their power, and that promise of reliable, affordable, abundant renewable energy at very cheap cost has not hit. Has not hit the deck as far as big industry is concerned. It might be different for a householder that's put some panels on their roof, but you can't imagine what an array would look like to power up Tomago.
Oh, could you imagine it?
Yeah. So
you'd need very... all of Newcastle, wouldn't you?
But it's just very difficult from the point of view over which they have very, very limited control, and it must be extremely frustrating for their board, for their management and their staff, on the basis that we understand it is an efficient aluminium smelter. They've got a good workforce, a skilled workforce that is behind what they're doing, but it all could come apart for reasons none of them over which they have control.
Given this is 3 years out, Bob, excuse me, a couple of prongs on here. Obviously, the first one, which you opened with, was that's great that it gives employees a bit of a look at what the future might look like. They can make some plans which best for their family. But is there also a possibility that 3 years out, this is essentially a signal to government to talk about bailouts or restructuring or something from a governmental level that could see the industry stick around a little longer?
I've got no doubt government's aware of the circumstances they're going through, and Tomago will have been and talking to them and keeping them informed as to what's going on. And I must say that Minister Bowen at a federal level and Minister Sharp at the state level both are well aware of the circumstances where the energy transition is up to, and then themselves some control over being able to do something about that, but some not. And that's a real difficulty in and of itself, in that we would love to speed up the transmission work and also the generation work that's going on at the moment. But these are big projects that take a long time to get through the approval process and the approval pipeline. And we just haven't seen the results that everyone was anticipating or wanting when we first got serious about this discussion some 15 years ago.
All right. Well, we'll leave Tomago for a moment because I'm sure we'll be revisiting it over the next 3 years, notwithstanding. The ABS have got some new numbers out in terms of unemployment, and it looks like for September we've had a significant downfall across the region.
Yeah, look, all the numbers are down, but for some bizarre reasons. Like the unemployment at face value looks quite low. It looks like everything's improved with a movement of 4.8% down to 4% across the region and only 3% in the Hunter Valley. But what those figures are masking is that we've got a shrinking labour force in that we've had more people. You and I have spoken about the participation rate. There's been another significant fall in the participation rate, particularly in the Hunter Valley. And that's a consequence of people choosing to either not be in employment or not looking for employment and sitting on the sidelines. And so at a time when job ads are still out there, we've still got growth in our job ads through September, we've got less and less people, in a sense, interested in going and looking for those opportunities.
There is, of course, another angle, which is always the bottom end of this, Bob, as well, and the Jobs and Skills Australia Internet Vacancy Index. I wish they'd come up with a new name for that. but it's noting there's around 40% of all jobs advertised again in September that's looking for a degree or similar qualifications. However, the cohort of people that are left in that 4%, notwithstanding it down a little bit from 4.8, are not at that level education-wise. So there is always that angle that's something that you can't, even if you decide tomorrow, I'll do that, that's not going to get your job ready for another few years.
No, you can't apply for a job if you, well, we know people do, where they don't meet the basic eligibility criteria. And I think what that's saying is that, and there are movements from training organisations to try and put in place small bridging courses to bring people up to speed. And we're encouraging employers to try and look beyond the qualifications and look at the university of life that some of those people have been through in relation to taking them on board. Because otherwise, if you wait for that perfect candidate to come along, in some cases you could be waiting a hell of a long time. And we've got the biggest cohort of people on the unemployed list based on the statistics that Jobs and Skills Australia have, or Workforce Australia have, are people in our region that have got very limited education and skills experience. So we've got to try and get that mismatch fixed, and training and upskilling is one way of doing it. And also looking differently at the candidates that are applying for their jobs is perhaps another way to get the businesses into getting the people that are out there looking for work on their books.
And it could be as simply as, well, maybe not as simply as in every example, but it could it be simply, yes, we've got a whole bunch of candidates that would be okay, but we'll just run them through some sort of bridging course to get you up to speed with the specific skills for this particular industry or job, because that would be a way of going, well, we're just going to wait around. The job doesn't happen. We get some. We got people here that want to come and work for us. Why don't we try and meet them in the middle somewhere?
Yeah, and that does happen. Anyone who's on the who's getting income support for being out of work is generally on a program to look intently at their skills metrics and their education metrics to see if that is contemporary. The workforce providers tell us that some people take that up and some don't. Some sit there and say, "Look, I'm not wanting to do that. I'm just going to wait around for the position I want." And that's perhaps some of the experience that's leading to this increase or the decrease in the participation rate, which means that people are choosing to leave the workforce temporarily or permanently for those sorts of reasons. But it's not auguring well for some of the ambition that we have here in the region to really get going for the future and build our workforce, and to have a shrinking labour force at the moment. At a time when we should be buttressing ourselves for potential economic shocks, like the aluminium smelter one possibility is things that we should be trying to arm ourselves for. And I know we'll be working on that in coming months and years to do just that.
Yeah, no, Bob, I think I'd rather be in the not perfect job whilst applying for the perfect job than being in no job when applying. So all of that is decisions individuals will ultimately make for themselves. Bob, as always, a pleasure. Lots on the books today. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Mark.
There he is, the CEO of Business Hunter, Bob Hawes, with some of the latest job numbers and, of course, the potential 2028 closure of Tomago Aluminium. Here at 2NURFM.